Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 to 6. And this can be found on page 782 of the Church Bibles. Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. The righteous branch. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness.
The New Testament reading is taken from the 23rd chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, reading from verses 33 to 43, and you can find it on page 1060 in the Church Bibles. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him and said, Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So much for those readings. You may want to keep your Bibles close by you so that we can look at those in a moment. Whenever I come to speak, I like to bring myself under God's authority and the authority of the word. So let's just bow in a prayer. Almighty God, may my words and our thoughts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Well, today we celebrate what is actually a relatively new festival in the Church of England festival register, as it were, known as Christ the King. And by way of ground clearing and context, I'm just going to make two introductory comments, and then I'm going to make four particular points about Christ the King. The first point to note is that, as Nick told us a moment ago, the festival comes the week before we begin the 4 weeks of Advent. During Advent, we anticipate the return of Jesus as King. Many people said Advent is actually leading to the birth of Jesus, but actually Advent is leading to the return of Jesus as King. And the Latin word Advent is a translation from the Greek word parousia, and the word parousia means the coming of the kingdom, when God's King will return to be present in the midst of his people. So in the week before the season in which we anticipate Jesus' return to be King, present amongst his people, we remind ourselves that he is King. The second point to note concerns the phrase, Christ the King. Christ the King is an interesting appellation because in many ways the phrase is a tautology. In other words, it says the same thing twice in different words. Let me explain why Christ the King is a tautology. As we all know, and as historians of all persuasions tell us, there was an historic person called Jesus. The historic person, Jesus, came from Nazareth. He was born to Mary in Bethlehem. This is history. The Bible often refers to that historic person, Jesus, as Jesus Christ. This may cause confusion because the word Christ is not Jesus' surname. He is not Jesus Christ in the same way as I am Stephen Hofmeyr. No, the word Christ is a title. The word Christ is a title like president or prime minister or doctor or reverend. The writer of our second reading this morning was Luke. Luke was a doctor, so he was Dr. Luke. Our vicar is Nick Williams, so he is the Reverend Nick Williams. If Jesus was filling in a passport application form today, in the box given name, he would enter Jesus. In the box title, he would enter Christ. The word Christ, you see, is Jesus' title. He is Christ Jesus. But what do you ask? Does this title mean? Doctor tells us that the person has a PhD or that they're trained as a medical doctor. Reverend tells us that the person is trained to become a priest, like Nick, like Benji. But what does Christ mean? Well, Christ literally means God's only chosen king. Christ means God's only chosen king. So when we read the words Jesus Christ, the writer is referring to King Jesus. The writer is referring to Jesus, God's only chosen king. Okay, now let's just put ourselves into the context of the New Testament writers, the time of Christ immediately after his death, resurrection, and ascension. It was very dangerous indeed to use this appellation at a time when the Roman emperor was worshipped as though he was God and the only God. To speak of Jesus as God's only true representative on earth was the kind of thing that got you thrown into the Colosseum and eaten by animals. It was a very serious and a very dangerous claim to make. Actually, to write and say that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is God's only chosen king, is just as controversial today. I'll come back to that in a moment, but my second observation was that the phrase Christ the King is tautology. It is to say the same things twice. It is to say the King, the King. But perhaps there's more to the appellation than that. Perhaps it is to acknowledge that the person that we're talking about, in the words of Handel's Messiah, is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only King who has been chosen by God. And if Jesus is King, and if Jesus is the only King chosen by God, that has profound consequences, as will become immediately apparent. There are many points which can be made, many things which can be said about Christ the King. This morning I'm just going to quickly touch on four. And the first is a point we've already noticed. In true Anglican tradition, I'm going to have four P's to help you remember them. Jesus is the peerless King. Jesus the Christ is God's one and only King. He's the only King chosen by God. There is no other. There is no equal. There is no competitor. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the King. The second is a point made repeatedly throughout the Old Testament. Jesus is the promised King. Speaking through the prophets, Jesus coming as the Messiah, Jesus coming as the King, as the Anointed One, Jesus coming as the inaugurator of God's kingdom, the kingdom being that realm in which his people inhabit, Jesus coming as the Lord was foretold repeatedly down the centuries. His people were waiting expectantly for the promised King. Today's passage in Jeremiah, back to page 782, is but one example. Look at verse 5. Remind yourself, these days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David's righteous branch a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in Israel. Then turn around and look at the window at the back of church. Have a look at the window at the back of church. That's the Jesse window. Let me read again from verse 5. I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. You see Jesse on the left, at the bottom, holding the branch, which we'll hear lots about at Christmas as we read the Old Testament prophecies. Jesse at the bottom with his hand on the root. Above him, holding the lyre, King David, the psalmist. Above him, Solomon, who built the temple. He has the temple in his hands. And now the quiz question. Who is above Solomon and below Mary? Notice that he's got the temple out of his outstretched hand. Anybody know? Anybody can remember from Jeremy Collingwood telling us 25 years ago? No? Well, the mystery is still there. I can't give you a final answer. I think it's probably, although he hasn't got a crown on his head, which is what perplexed me, I think it's probably Hezekiah, who was the king when the temple was rebuilt after the Babylonian exile. But I may be wrong. It could be Jeroboam, who was the king after Solomon. I don't know. But then above that figure, we find Mary with the baby Jesus in her arms. And at the top we see the King of the Jews on the cross, the King who bore our sins in his body on the tree, the King who paid the price for my sins and yours, so that, as Isaiah prophesied, by his stripes we are healed. out of the root of Jesse, the prophets foretold, would come the Messiah, the person who would save his people. Verse 6 of Jeremiah chapter 23, in his days Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Great David's greater son. There are over 350 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in Christ Jesus, the man on the cross. Jesus is the Christ, the promised king. So we have the peerless king, the promised king, and third, Jesus is the proclaimed king. And if you turn with me, please, to the passages in Luke chapter 23, we have Jesus on the cross, and at the insistence of the Roman leader, he has at his feet the appellation, the King of the Jews. And if you turn earlier in the chapter to the first few verses, we see that Jesus had been brought before Pilate. They wanted him condemned, and what they the accusation against him, verse chapter 23, verse 2, he opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king. That's treason. He's claiming what is only rightful for the emperor. Have him put to death. And Pilate asked Jesus, verse 3, are you the king of the Jews? Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. Pilate didn't say, treason, send him down. What does Pilate say? Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, I find no basis for a charge against him. Even Pilate recognized, proclaimed that Jesus was the King of the Jews. The proclaimed king. And throughout the New Testament, we find that Christ Jesus is proclaimed again and again and again and again as God's anointed king, the promised Messiah, Christ Jesus, God's only chosen king. So we have the peerless king, the promised king, the proclaimed king, and finally, the personal king. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. I think it's page 1245. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. 1245. Revelation was written by John the Divine, John of Patmos, who also wrote John's Gospel, we understand. And he's writing here about the parousia, the coming kingdom. And he says in verse 14, I looked, sorry, have I got it, got the right? No, that's 14, just bear with me one moment. Yes, 17, verse 14. They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and with him will be his called chosen and faithful followers. The Lamb is a reference to Jesus. They will make war against Jesus, but Jesus will overcome them because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And then note, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. Jesus is not just King of the Jews. Jesus is not just God's unique, only chosen God. Jesus is not merely King of Kings. Jesus is not merely Lord of Lords. if we turn to him as Savior, if we say to him that we're really sorry for our sins, as we did earlier in the service, if we turn to Jesus for rescue, if we acknowledge that he died for our sins on the cross, on the Jesse window. In his other book, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12, Jesus, John promises that to all who receive him, to all who believe in his name, he, Jesus, has given the right to become the children of God. Christ the King wants nothing more than to be king in your life and in mine. Christ the King loves us so much that he wants us to be his people. He wants to call us. He wants to choose us. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to live under his rule. And he's made this possible through his own death and resurrection. Christ Jesus, the peerless King. Christ Jesus, the promised King. Christ Jesus, the proclaimed King. Christ Jesus, the personal King. And as I've said before, there are really only two ways in which we can live our lives. Either we rule in our own lives, either we have a crown on our own heads and we dictate what happens in life, what we think, what we do, or we can ask Jesus to rule in our lives. We can take the crown off our own head and put it on Jesus. We recognize that the Lamb who was slain to pay the price for our sins is also the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, and that he loves us so much that he's made it possible for us to be called his sons and daughters, his family, to be his chosen people, to be his faithful citizens. And if you haven't previously invited Jesus to rule in your life, to put the crown on his head, may I encourage you to do so today. Please do speak to Nick after the service, or me, or a friend. We'd love to pray with you to invite Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, to rule in your life. Let's conclude with a prayer. Dear Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I know that I'm not worthy to be accepted by you into your kingdom. I don't deserve your gift of eternal life. I know that I'm guilty of rebelling against you and ignoring you. I need forgiveness. Thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to die for me so that I may be forgiven. Thank you that he rose from the dead to give me new life. Please forgive me. Please change me, that I may live with Jesus as my ruler, that I may live in his kingdom for the rest of my days and for all eternity. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.